Hey, folks, have you ever had a circumstance or a situation in your life where maybe there was somebody in your life that you loved and there was something that they needed and it caused you to do some things that you would not normally do? It maybe caused you to go against some of the social mores of society or it was one of those situations that by you doing that, you knew that some others may look at you and say, hey, what is this guy or what is this gal doing in light of this? This is just not normal for the time. Well, you know what? The Lord tells us and teaches us a lot of things, particularly when it comes down to His compassion. Again, we're going to look today at another one of the miracles of the Master. We're going to look at the healing of the centurion's servant out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Grab that Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 8. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Thank you so much for taking this time to join us today. Where whatever the situation may be, it may be evening for you. You may be watching this during the daytime, whatever it may be. Thank you for taking this time to be able to join us for this particular Bible study. And I pray God's going to bless your heart just because of it. So I mentioned a moment ago that we're actually going to be looking today at another one of the miracles of the Master, the healing of the centurion servant. Now, in our journey of faith, we often encounter stories that emphasize the power of belief and the compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, one such story is the healing of the centurion servant. Now, this narrative exemplifies the profound strength of faith, irrespective of one's social status or ethnicity, and it also highlights Jesus' grace in such an incredible way. Now, I always like to define grace such as this. Grace is defined as unmerited favor, meaning there is nothing that you and I can do to deserve that. So we're going to look at our context of our Bible story today out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. In just a moment, I'm going to begin reading with verse 5. But this sermon aims to explore this account of faith and healing to help us understand the importance of faith in Jesus' power and His authority, regardless of our background and regardless of our social positions along the way. So look with me, if you would, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. It says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be the cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we once again ask that you would just open our hearts. Lord, may we truly experience the Holy Spirit revealing this great, great message to each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that it would certainly not just be head knowledge for each and every one of us, but Father, that it would trickle down into our heart, that it would become heart knowledge as we follow you. Lord, help us to see your compassion. Lord, help us to see the great faith that is exemplified in this passage today. And Lord, may we be drawn closer to you because we've spent this time around your word. Lord, I pray that you'll use me as your messenger for these moments. And Lord, that your people would hear. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say and help us to adjust to walk closer to you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, in the time of Jesus, one of the things we've got to understand is we've got to have a little bit of historical context to this particular passage. So in the time of Jesus, a centurion was a Roman officer that was in charge of 100 soldiers. Okay, get it? Centurion, 100. So he was in charge of 100 soldiers as an occupying force in Israel. Romans were often despised by the Jewish people. So you're starting to understand a little bit about what's going on here. Now, despite this, the centurion approaches Jesus with humility. There's that word again. We've been talking about that. Remember what humility is? It's the opposite of pride. But this centurion approaches Jesus with humility and faith, indicating a remarkable recognition of Jesus, both his authority as well as his power. Okay, so the centurion, recognizing his own authority within the Roman military, equates it to the divine authority of Jesus with the words that he said in our scripture. Now, he demonstrates extraordinary faith by expressing trust in Jesus' power to heal his servant with just a word, without the need for a physical presence. You know, I can think of some other scriptures along the way where, if you remember back in the time, it was an Old Testament passage where, you know, it was one of the powerful men who, you know, whose little servant said, "Hey, you know, I know the prophet knows how to get in touch with God, and you know, God can heal you." So he went, and the prophet's just like, "Oh, okay, yeah, go your way. You know, go dip in the river 7 times, and you'll be good." And you remember that ruler? He got upset. You know, and of course he was kind of expressing his discontent with the way things went. And then it was said to him, it said, "Well, you know what, if he would have done something great, would you have followed that? If he would have come out and waved his arms around, what was your expectation of what was going to happen and what was going to take place?" He said, "Why don't you just do what he says? Why don't you be obedient? Why don't you go dip in the river 7 times and see if you were healed?" And of course he actually went and did that. And what happened? He was healed. Okay, so Jesus acknowledges and praises this profound faith that this centurion has in coming to him. He's saying, "Look, I don't expect you to come to the house. You know, I know that your power and authority exceeds far beyond having to be right there in person. You can heal my servant from right here, exactly where we are." Yeah, you know, matter of fact, what did he say? He said, I don't even deserve to have you under my roof. But how about just healing him from here, okay? So Jesus acknowledges and he praises that faith that this centurion had, contrasted with the lack of faith that he has encountered among his own people. Notice what he said in that passage. He said, "I haven't seen faith like this even in Israel," okay? You know, the Israelites were the Lord's chosen people. And he said, "I haven't even seen that kind of faith among them," okay? The healing of the servant not only underscores Jesus' power, but it also signifies the inclusive nature of God's kingdom. You know, there were some social barriers. There were some, I guess you would say, moral barriers of the time. But these two just, you know, weren't on the same page. And we see Jesus crossing those boundaries very, very often in his word, okay? So this is very significant that it shows how inclusive the nature of God's kingdom really, really is, okay? So these passages that we're looking at reveal that faith transcends culture as well as social boundaries. Jesus responds not to the centurion's status, but to his faith. In other words, Jesus didn't say, "I'm going to heal your servant because you are a captain, you've got 100 people under you, and you have a great status or a great position, you know, with the Roman Empire." That's not what Jesus said. He said, "I'm not going to," yeah, he didn't say it, but this is what he alluded to in the scripture. He said, "I'm not going to heal your servant because of who you are." He said, "I am going to heal your servant because of your faith in who I am." Okay? Now, this was affirming that faith in his authority that brings about healing, that same faith that brings about salvation, okay? Now, in our lives today, we are reminded that it's not our heritage. It's not our social status. It's not our background that determines our relationship with God, but it's our faith in him. man, I can't go back enough to the simplicity that the Lord says that we are saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this man was expressing that, you know, to Jesus. You know, think about that for just a moment. It's not about who you are. I have actually, you know, known some people who it felt like because it was because of their heritage or who they were. You know, I can even bring it down to a simpler stage. You know, some people think, well, I'm going to make it into the kingdom of heaven because my mama and daddy were good Christian people. Well, no, you're not. I'm just going to tell you straight up front, that's not how it works. I'm glad your mama and daddy were good people. Yeah, and then I've had some say, well, they were not just good people. They were Christian people. They were born again people. And I'm like, great. That doesn't mean that it's going to rub off on you. You don't get to the kingdom of heaven by osmosis. There's that 50-cent word. It doesn't work that way. You can't just get up against them and all of a sudden have what they have. You know, you will stand before your maker individually. You will answer for the decisions that you've made. You will answer for the things that you have done. So it is not your heritage that will get you into the kingdom of heaven. It is not your social status that will get you there either. It doesn't matter if you are a member of the country club. It doesn't matter how big your house is. It doesn't matter what kind of car that you drive. None of these things make a amount to a hill of beans difference when it comes down to the kingdom of God. The only thing that matters is whether or not you know him, whether you have trusted him by faith, whether you are following him. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference what your background is. That is not what determines your relationship with God, only your faith in him. I've said so many times over and over, it's not what you have, it's who you know that gets you into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But he offers that to each and every one of us. So like the centurion, we are called to approach Jesus with humility and with unwavering belief in his power to transform our lives. Okay? Do you trust him for that? Do you trust the fact that because of who he is, he can transform your life? You know, some of you listening today, you may be in some very dark valleys in your life. Let me promise you, Jesus can see you through them. I can promise you that if you know him, he's right there in the midst of that valley with you, even as we speak. But he can transform your life as well. See, we are encouraged to intercede for others with a heart full of faith and trust in God's authority along the way. Okay? Think about this for just a moment as we take a few moments to consider this story. You know, the story of the centurion and his servant teaches us that faith knows no boundaries and that Jesus' healing power is available to all who believe. And I like to use this statement, you know, around the church. When I say all, I will usually say this. I will say all means all, and that's all that all means. It is available to all. There's nobody who is exclusively set aside, and there's nobody who's exclusively denied the power and the access to God Almighty. I'm telling you that right now. There are different theologies that go about today that would say that, but I believe the Word of God that says, I would that none should perish, and I believe to sit back and say anything otherwise, to say that salvation would not be for all, defies the very character and very nature of who God is. He offers you salvation through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, but it is up to us to open the door. What is it that the Lord said? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He's not just going to kick the door of your heart down, but he will stand there and casually knock. Now, you have a choice to make. You will either open the door to him or you will ignore it and you will close the door. The difference between the two is opening the door to him and allowing him to come in means eternal life in that place called heaven. It means being able to walk with him and talk with him on a daily basis. Whereas leaving that door closed will get you an eternal sentence in that place called hell, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. I pray right now that as you're listening to my voice, that you have taken the time to confess that you are a sinner before God Almighty. if you haven't, if you've heard that knock at your door and you know for a fact right now that you have never opened that door, if I were to ask you today, if your life should be required of you at this very moment, where would you spend eternity? Knowing what you know, knowing that it takes Jesus to see the kingdom of God, would you open your eyes in heaven or would you open your eyes in hell? Now listen, if you know the answer to that question is that you would open your eyes in hell, I will tell you that right now, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. You can hear it. The question is, will you open the door and allow him to come in? Listen, if you want to trust him right now, prayer is communication with God. You can simply bow your head wherever you may be and say, Lord, today I realize I'm a sinner. I hear you knocking at my heart's door. Father, I am opening the door. I'm asking you to come in and save my soul, forgive my sins. And now, Father, help me to live for you in a way that's pleasing to you and will point others in your direction. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if that's you and you just trusted Jesus for the first time in your life, man, I'm excited for you. I can tell you right now that the Word of God tells us that there is rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of one soul. So if you trusted the Lord today, all of heaven is rejoicing over your decision. And we want to rejoice along with you. Please take this moment to contact me. Our website is listed on the screen. You've got the telephone numbers there. You've got email addresses there. Please contact me. Let me know that you gave your heart to Jesus today so that we could celebrate with you. And we would like to get you some information that will help you along the way in your walk with the Lord, that will help you grow and help you to become a disciple. So as we go back to our text, you know, we've been talking about this centurion. You know, remember what the story teaches us, that the centurion and his servant teaches us that faith doesn't know boundaries, and that Jesus has the power to heal, and that healing power is available to each and every one of us. You know, it's a call to deepen our faith and to deepen our trust in the Lord, knowing that he can accomplish what may seem impossible to us. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've thought that there have been situations that have been possible, and I will go on record as saying they were humanly impossible, but God, through his divine power, made a way. Not only made a way through that circumstance and through that situation, solved problems that were unsolvable, healed things that were impossible to heal. I could give you testimony after testimony after testimony of him doing exactly that. So my question is, are you going to trust in him? You know, are you going to count on that? Are you going to stretch your faith? Are you going to grow in his word? Are you going to grow in his will? Are you going to have compassion upon those that are around you? Will you be like the centurion? Maybe you hold a special position. You know, maybe you are a captain of the guard. Maybe you have a high status. Maybe you have all these things. Those are not the things that will get you to the kingdom of heaven. Will you surrender them to the Lord? Allow him to use those things in your ministry for him as you continue to go about this earth. Man, I tell you, I will promise you that you will see some great and some incredible things happen and some great and incredible things take place. Well, I want to go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at for next week. Once again, we're going to be taking a look at yet another one of the miracles of the Messiah. I want you this week to spend some time in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to look at our eighth miracle next week. And that eighth miracle will be the healing of the paralytic, and that's going to come out of Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Once again, that's Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. But just spend some time in the whole book of Mark this week studying that so that you can be prepared and ready for when we come together for our Bible study next week. So as we close our time, let me take this moment to have a prayer with us. And to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Let's pray together. Father, as we once again come to you, we are so thankful for the example that you give us of the centurion's faith. And Lord, not only the centurion's faith, but yet your boundless compassion. Father, I pray that you will help us to approach you with all humility remembering that humility is the opposite of pride, and pride goeth before the fall. So help us, Lord, as we approach you to do so with humility and, Lord, and trust, believing in your power to heal, believing in your power to restore. And Father, we pray that you will strengthen our faith so that we might truly be instruments of your love and your grace in this world. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for taking this time to gather around the Word of God with us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Please take the moment, if you're in the area, to come by and visit with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68. We have all kinds of opportunities for evangelism as well as discipleship and including missions. We're a big missions church. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that and get involved. If you make it down there, come introduce yourself to me. Everybody just calls me Pastor Roy. I'd love to have that opportunity to meet you and have the opportunity to have you worship with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. God bless you. I pray you'll have a great week and that you will experience God's blessing far beyond what you could ever imagine. Have a great week.